Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of Multiple Voices. My Multiple Voices podcast, true to its name, includes different series. For example, we have the Voices of Love, where we discuss relationships, the voice of empowerment, the voice of laughter and play, the voice of pleasure, and the magical voice of archetypes and how they change the way we live. But we also have the voice of memory that includes everything from history to discussions of past life regression. There's also writing voices, where we interview both seasoned writers and authors who have just started getting their feet wet with writing, and we learn what can work for you as potential writers. Our series called Voice of the Spirit discusses different forms of spirituality and religion. And then Channeling Voices is a series that covers what happens when you channel, but is also extended to mediumship. Take a moment to review this podcast if you've enjoyed listening, and leave a hearty 5 stars. I'd appreciate it. Enjoy your listening. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with another episode, and today I'm here with Brad Page. Welcome, Brad. Welcome to Multiple Voices.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good, good. I'm glad that you had took the time and you had made some time for us. Who is Brad? And he'll talk about himself, but he is a music buff, all things music. And I have not had on this show at all someone who talks about music, Brad. I've had singers, I've had dancers and people who work with music, but not from an abstract music lover history, things like that. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, first of all, how you got into music? Who is Brad in relation to music? When did that happen?
Well, a little bit of probably a different path than a lot of people. I was actually an only child, so I didn't have older brothers or sisters in the house to expose me to the popular music at the time. My parents were significantly older.
What kind of music are we talking about? What popular music was there at the time? Give us a hint.
Well, we're talking 60s and 70s, right?
Okay, so a couple of names.
Rock.
Rock. All right.
Yeah. Yes. Rock music. Yeah.
You say it as if that's the only kind in that period.
Well, you know, as they say, there's two kinds of music I like: rock and roll. Right.
Yeah, I know.
That's not entirely true. But,
no. Well, people who are rock lovers, you know, that's what they say.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Yeah. So, and my parents were significantly older. They were of the Lawrence Welk generation, if you're right. So music for them was not a big part of their lives. It was something that was on in the background, you know. So music wasn't really part of my life when I was younger. I was actually a big comic book fan when I was younger. That was my world.
What
right? Marvel Comics. DC.
Marvel.
Yeah, Marvel and DC both. I was a Batman fan and a Spider-Man fan, and you know, read it all.
Did you have any kind of drawing skills or anything like that, or were you just drawn to it because of the genre, the type of literature that it offered?
It was the stories and the art. I mean, like most kids, I think you try to draw, and I wasn't any good at it, but I would try to draw. But it was more just the world. I mean, those are our modern myths, right?
Right.
Those are our Zeus and our types of stories like that that have really always been a part of human culture.
Yeah.
You just manifest those stories now.
It's true. It's true. I was talking to another guest once, and we picked out the notion that for boys, it was a whole different ballgame. Young girls had different, they didn't have superheroes, you know,
right.
And that came much, they had Barbie. So it was a typically a male phenomenon. And so when you, I'm wondering if that linked to rock, the specific type of music, which is rock or not.
Well, the link was the band Kiss. Because they were rock and roll superheroes,
yeah,
right?
They had costumes,
yes. They had characters. Yeah. So that was my entry point into music.
Yeah.
They were the perfect band to transition a comic book nerd into the world of music.
Yeah, and you still have the records, right? You still
have before those. Then, to me, what I knew of guitars was with the girls in fourth grade who would bring their acoustic guitar to class and play Kumbaya, which had zero interest to me as
a
comic book boy.
Do you play?
Right. But
do you play a guitar?
Into music. I first dabbled in drums, and then I picked up the guitar, and I still play today.
Uh-huh.
So I am a musician, but it all started with a love of the music by being a fan first.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? And as from my perspective, and I think probably for most musicians, as good as you may get, you'll never be as good as your heroes, right? As the guys or girls.
That's what heroes
brought you
into, of
course, music, you know?
Yeah.
So even though I've been playing for, I don't know, 45 years or however long it's been, I still think of myself as a fan first, as
of
a
course.
Lover of music.
Yeah, yeah.
Before being a musician. So, yeah, but I mean, once Kiss got my toe in the water, then I was sucked in.
Yeah.
And music really became, ultimately it became my religion.
Okay. All right. Now we're getting down to, say the sacred nature of music, but but still it's not music, it's rock.
That's what it is for me. The way I look at it is, continuing the religious metaphor, right? You've got Catholics, you got Protestants, you got Baptists, you got Presbyterians, you've got Hindus, and the whole scope, right?
Right.
Ultimately what it's bringing to your life is more or less the same thing, right? A set of values of how you lead a good life, but you find your different aspects of that. For me, it's rock and roll music. From other people, it might be classical or country.
Yeah.
But the experience of music, what it brings to your life, I think is the same regardless of what denomination you are.
Right,
so
right. Oh, yeah, sure. Let's talk about that experience, what it does for you. I mean, there are so many ideas here that there's musical therapy, like aromatherapy. It's therapeutic.
Right.
Why is that? I mean, I'm not sure if I want to ask you from a technical standpoint or what, because not being a music buff, I dance. I love music. I've studied music. I've gone through all the music, but I'm more of a movement person. So to talk about actually the waves and what they do, I've translated into the body movement. How does it play out for you in an abstract way? Maybe I'm not sure how to ask that question.
I'm not technical enough that I can really give you a a deep explanation of why. I mean, the music is fascinating in so many ways because really you're just talking about vibrations.
Vibrations,
That aren't technically, they're vibrations, right? Not a whole lot different than a hammer hitting a nail or the human voice or the meow of a cat.
Right.
But somehow in our brain, it becomes music.
Well, vibration
in the air, it's just movement physical movement of air.
Well, it is
against our eardrums. And in our brain, it becomes music. So music really literally lives inside your head. It's not out in the ether. It's the tree falling in the forest, right? Well, I mean, would music exist if there wasn't anyone there to hear it? Would it be perceived as music?
But when we talk about the soul as well, we talk about the vibrational rate of the soul because it's vibration, just like the air that is moved with music. What was your first encounter with that vibration when it really, there was no turning back? You're not going to be a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief, but you have made this decision. That's it for me. I can't live without music. What happened? Was there a distinct
Well, I mean, it was right there from the beginning. As soon as I first got into KISS, it was just the excitement of that music. And then from that, led me into everything from progressive rock, which is a lot more, I mean, it's much more technical. It also tends to tackle larger, deeper issues, into the Beatles and the kind of things that John Lennon and George Harrison were writing about spiritually.
What is progressive, progressive rock? Can you give some names? Because I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah. So a band like Yes or King Crimson or Rush. Or there's a ton of them, but it's music. Right. It's very technical.
Yeah.
It kind of melds elements of jazz and classical. It's the music for the most skilled of rock and pop musicians would work in that genre. And the songs tend to be long, from 7 to 30 minutes or longer, a piece of music. So it becomes more orchestral in that sense. And the topics range anything from Tolkien style fantasy to political or spiritual topics. So it's very immersive in that sense, and it's not for everyone, because if you just want to hear something you can dance to, progressive rock's probably not for
not
you.
The right one,
But if you're looking for a deeper exploration of both the music itself and for the subject matter, there's a lot in progressive rock to listen to. But I mean, the Beatles, which is just great catchy pop music, also tackles a lot of personal themes and deep themes, and not so much politics when they were the Beatles, but you know, you're starting to get there, right? The 60s exploded of what pop music could be about,
right?
From the Moon June type of rhymes and of doo-wop in early 50s high school issues of your girlfriend in your car and going surfing, to the deeper topics that started to be written about in the 60s and then on through today. But you know, so the rock music, pop, that kind of pop music, to me, it mixes, when it's at its best, it brings on elements from classical and jazz and folk in terms of the types of issues and the types of instrumentation and the topics, and you know, just all of it brings kind of everything together in a very exciting, visceral format. Rock and roll is a very visceral experience.
In what you've written for me, I find that you have also started podcasting a couple of years ago, 2018, I believe. And I'm wondering if, because the way you talk about music and you talk about history of music to a certain extent, have you ever taught? Have you ever been in a capacity of teaching music, teaching musical theory, history?
Well, that's kind of what the podcast does. Beyond that, you know, I'm not a teacher. But
that's why I asked the question, because I thought the podcast would be that.
Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, the goal of the podcast is called I'm in Love with That Song. And each episode, we take one song that's a personal favorite of mine for various reasons. And we explore it together, myself and the audience, to try to understand. And this is for me, too. I don't go into this each episode knowing everything about that particular song. It's me often just listening to records or hearing a song that I like and just wondering, well, what is it about that song that grabs me? Why do I like that song so much more than the next song or the song before that?
When you say, I explore with my audience, is it interactive? Is it a live show or?
It's not a live show. It's pre-recorded, but it's kind of the idea of us listening to it together. And at certain points in the song, we'll stop and we'll go back and listen to a piece, you know. Ooh, let's listen to what the bass guitar is.
Come
doing.
On, give us a little sneak preview. Give me an example of something that you did recently that you could remember. A song.
Well,
and
one
piece.
Of my favorite episodes was on the Rolling Stones song "Gimme Shelter," which has one of the greatest background vocal performances I think ever recorded by a woman named Mary Clayton, who did not know the Stones, but they were recording the record in the studio. And they decided they wanted some that female R&B gospel type vocals to back it up. And so it's literally like midnight. And they call, they just had the engineer, whoever, call someone they knew. Who can come in and do a vocal on this track?
Right.
And so, well, I know this woman, Mary Clayton. So they call it Mary Clayton. And she's getting ready for bed. She's in her nightgown with her hair up in curlers. And she says, all right, I'll come in. She doesn't know who the Stones are. And they present her with this song, Gimme Shelter. And part of the lyrics are rape, murder. It's just a shot away.
Right. It's just a shot away.
She's like, okay, well, that's pretty intense. And so she lays down one take and it's brilliant. And they say, okay, let's go back and do another one. And she gives them one more that's even more intense.
Wow.
And so we listen to that. We actually listen to just her vocal.
Yeah.
And you can't hear it. When you hear the finished track with all the music layered on top, you don't necessarily hear it. But when you just hear her vocal track in the background, you can hear Mick Jagger, who's there and is listening. And you can hear him go, whoa. like it's moving him, right? But her vocal, it's just so powerful, and her voice cracks, and it just the performance and the line of those lyrics, and it that's just something that's worth going back and really listening to. And her name is not on the record. It's a Rolling Stones record, but she's the one who makes that song I think. So things like that are what we try to get at. What is the magic in the song? What is the piece or the moment? Or the elements of that song that kind of escalate it to bring it above just being an average song. What makes that song great? And that's what we try to get at each episode. And so we talk about the history of the song. We look at the individual performances. And then I always try to add a personal element, because to me, ultimately, all comes down to a personal relationship with that song. What does that song mean to you? When did you first hear it? You know, those kind of things.
In case, do you remember what you said in your episode?
Honestly, I don't remember exactly what I said.
Gotcha.
Just
let's try
that song. That's one of those records. It's kind of always been there.
You know?
It was not a new song when I discovered it. But it's always been a powerful piece.
She must have had a powerful voice, a very powerful vibration, this woman.
Very amazing woman. And we've covered a couple other Mary Clayton moments on the show as well. So.
With other songs with the Stones or other?
Yeah, there's a separate episode we did just on a song of hers. So, yeah, I mean, there's probably 90-something episodes of the podcast out there. So if anyone's interested in exploring it, please do.
Good, I'll put that.
The shows are, they all stand on their own. So it's...
What's the title again?
Find a topic or a song or an artist that you like and listen to that episode.
What's the name?
Skip ahead.
Of the podcast again?
It's called I'm in Love with That Song.
I'm in Love with That Song. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now we talk about love here. Now, what about, and you could tell us, you're not going to make any enemies here, but is there some music that you absolutely hate, you cannot stand to listen to?
Yeah, there's some. I think, you know, the thing about music is that it engages you personally. It becomes a very personal thing. And so anytime that there's something that you really love, there's always the other side of that. I mean, if you don't care about something, then you don't really love it. You don't really hate it. But I don't think anything that you are really passionate about, there's always something that's the opposite of that, right? So I think anyone who's deeply passionate about music, there's always some type of music or some artist or something you just don't love. I think modern country music is in a very bad place.
I see.
I'm a fan of Loretta Lynn, Cash, the traditional country, and there's artists coming up more in the what they call Americana, which is sort of rockish style country that I like. But what's the commercial, what they call the bro country, right? All these guys with the thick almost phony, put on uh-huh. accents and the cowboy hats and stuff. Uh-huh. I think a lot of that stuff sounds like it's churned out mm-hmm. like McDonald's hamburgers.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's fairly
interesting.
Soulless.
Interesting.
I think.
And today, on the other end of the spectrum, in relation to this, you know, we talked about rock and all kinds of rock in the past, but today, what is you know, garnering your favor? What do you specifically like to listen to of new music today?
There's a few new, black female artists who have really captured my imagination in the past year. There's a woman named Amethyst Kia.
Ah.
It just came out with a record that's fantastic. There's a woman from, she's originally from the UK, but she's been living in the Nashville area. She goes by Yola, Y-O-L-A. Mm-hmm. She's got a great record that came out this year. There's a few others that slip my mind at the moment. She's not necessarily new, but there's a woman named Rhiannon Giddens, who's kind of blended sort of a folk tradition into a kind of a modern folk tradition.
Yeah, this is
so
what
it's
I was
not
going to ask.
Rock,
you.
But
what about Kia? Is she also from that tradition? A blended
Amethyst Kia has her career has kind of been all over the place. Actually, I believe she started singing in more of a rock and roll type of band, but she's also a banjo player. And so she has roots in folk. She did a record with Rhiannon Giddens. It was like this almost a folky Americana type super group that they put an album out that's quite good. But her current record kind of blends all of that. So it has a little bit of hip hop elements. It's got some modern pop sounds to it, some rock sounds, and the folk stuff is in there too. So she is bound by no genre, really. But she's writing from a gay woman's, a gay black woman's perspective, laying it all out there, very honest, I just find it really powerful.
As soon as we hang up here, yeah, you know where I'm going. I'm going to go listen to Amethyst Kia.
Interesting. Yeah, Amethyst like the gem.
Yeah, Amethyst, yeah.
K-I-A-H, I believe is how she spells her.
Interesting, interesting.
So yeah, check that out.
And so let's take a look at, you know, let's take a forward-looking look. Mm-hmm. It's not what the mindful people would do as, you know, being in the here and now and the present. What do you foresee? Can you imagine that there could be a new music development in the future, near future? Where would what would that sound like? And where would music be going, according to you? Have you ever done that?
Well, I don't know that asking, you know, a 50-plus-year-old white guy what the future of music is.
Why? You're not going to become deaf, are you? You're still going to listen to music.
Of course. Of course. But my interest now is I tend to look back. I kind of see myself almost as is more of a historian, and I spend more time discovering music from, because as much as I've heard of music from the 60s and 70s and even back into the 50s, there's still more to be discovered.
Of course, that music I
love.
Of course.
And I've always been, even when I was a young kid first discovering this music, what always excited me was, just a new band at the time. Well, what inspired them? And so you find out what their favorite artists were. And then you listen to them and find out, well, who inspired those people? And you work your way back into the blues artists of the 40s and the 30s. Mm-hmm. And I'm still kind of that kind of guy. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you know,
though
that
I do listen to some modern music, I don't listen to a ton of it. Mm-hmm. But I think what we will start to see, and we're already seeing with artists like Amethyst Kia, is this kind of, and I hope it goes in this direction where we get ourselves out of these funnels. This is one of the things that has always bothered me as music progressed out of the 80s into the 90s and the 2000s, where we started to become both as performers and as listeners, yeah, more and more funneled into, suddenly it wasn't enough just to listen to heavy metal, you know, yeah, like you listen to thrash metal, mm, or, well, I don't like thrash metal, I like death metal, or mm, I like black metal. Like, right, we started dividing the pie metal into, yeah, smaller, yeah, and smaller chunks, and the, yeah, artists became so less diverse, and to the, yeah, point where when you would listen to an album,
yeah,
all the songs were basically the same.
Yeah.
To me, the great records, Sgt. Pepper, you name your Prince album or a Queen album. Mm-hmm. Right. Every song is different. Every song is almost in a different genre.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
those,
yeah,
records would take you on a journey. And the, yeah, bands were allowed by their audience and by themselves to play whatever the hell they wanted.
Whatever they wanted, yeah.
Right? Yeah. And as we got more and more into the 2000s, it seemed to be that that became less and less acceptable by the audience. And we became narrower in terms of what we listened to.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
now I think that's still true, but I think you're starting to see that being broken down.
Open
where
up.
Bands, mm-hmm, are mixing and matching, you know, hip hop beats, yeah, with heavier guitars or, you know, whatever, that we're seeing more of that. And I think that allows your artist to grow and to share more. And, yeah, as a listener, you become wider in terms of what, yeah, you listen to, instead of just being so narrow, because, mm-hmm, narrow is never good in anything, in your, yeah, diet, in your spiritual, in what you choose to listen to. The more you listen to, I think, the better, mm-hmm, off.
Well, you know, in all of the things that you've written me, I didn't see, and I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked, and I didn't see a book anywhere. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm pulling my chin and my beard out on my chin, when is that going to come out? Because you are a serious historical buff. I mean, there's no nonsense about this. And apart from my question about looking forward, history, I'll just remind you, is cyclical. And that gives people a help, you know, an aid into looking the future. So what about, are you a person who ever thinks of writing?
I think about it, but I don't have any, nothing has ever come up to me that, mm-hmm, that felt like it needed to be a book by me. Mm-hmm. maybe someday that topic will arise that I, mm-hmm, feel like, well, I'm the guy to write that, but, mm-hmm, so far it hasn't. To me, the podcast is where all that energy goes. Mm-hmm. And, there's that old cliche, it often is attributed to Frank Zappa, but I'm not sure he's the one who actually said it, but that, paraphrasing, that writing about music is like dancing about architecture.
Yeah,
that,
right. I understand.
Right.
Exactly.
You know that phrase.
Yeah.
And so what's great about the podcast is, I mean, I write the podcast. It is, mm-hmm, it is scripted. It's not me just hemming and hawing behind a microphone. There's a lot of thought that goes into every phrase on the show.
Sure.
But it would be nothing without the music actually being there.
Of course.
And I read a lot of books about music, about
the history
of rock, and about individual bands and performers and journalists and whatnot. But it's always lacking when you get to the point where they're actually talking about the music and you can't hear it. You have to put the book down and go put the record on.
Yeah.
And with the podcast, I can do that.
Yeah. Okay. I get it.
And so to me,
multimedia,
the podcast is better than a book.
Yeah.
For what I'm trying to do right now. Mm-hmm. But who knows, maybe someday.
Yeah, because, you know, my next question was how widely read you are on music. And apparently you are. You have to be if you have a podcast of that kind. But then when you do, you know, you hit all of the works and there's a hole missing. You see, like, it starts really small and then it becomes bigger and bigger. And you see, my God, doesn't anybody see that? Don't they see that this work today is clearly linked to, you know, whoever that artist was? He's actually, mm-hmm, you know, playing the same thing. It's things like that. They're more like essays, you know, for magazines or something. I don't know who puts out stuff like that. Used to be the Rolling Stone. Was that?
Yeah. I mean, the Rolling Stone is still published, but most of the music magazines have gone the way of the dodo, unfortunately.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I enjoyed a lot of those
but
things.
It's a shame. That's why, I mean, if nobody writes, of course, that's what's going to happen. And when, right. when, okay, I agree with you. I'm a person who has, you know, written all my life. I'm an academic all my life, you know, but my gift is my voice. I speak, and that's, you know, so I can understand what you're saying. There's nothing like the spoken word. And we tend to forget that original communication was always by voice. Everything yeah. was spoken, you know.
So, well, yeah, on the other side of that, we live in a culture now where you kind of wish people would just shut up and listen, right? Because there's yes. so much talk. Yes. There's too much talk.
Yes. Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
That we've, in a way, we've devalued.
Well, yes, to a certain degree.
You know, I mean, it's the balance, right? Everything in life is a balance. Yeah. And mm-hmm. we've got to the point now where, thanks to the internet, everyone has a voice.
Yeah,
the problem
yeah.
is not everyone has anything valuable to say.
In the same token, when you say we wish they would shut up, going to the written word, today anyone can publish a book, and you wish they right. didn't, you know, so the
right,
market,
exact that, same thing.
It's the same thing. So, you know, when there's something that needs to be said, and it's quite different from everything else, it usually emerges because it needs to emerge. There's something new. There's something, you know, there's a shining light, and that will hit you. I'm sure it does, because it always does. You know, the light bulb mm-hmm. goes off one day sure. because you have such a passion with things that
well, you know,
do.
Like I said, I am in my, getting in my late 50s, but I still got a ways to go. So I'm not
well,
done
yeah,
yet.
I mean, come on. Right? That's half your life. Just half.
Let's hope.
Of course. Yeah. Do you have any doubt? Brad, thank you so much for spending time with us. I loved it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk about music
yeah,
and the role it plays in all of our lives. And I hope everyone out there has some music, some artist that has spoken to them in a way that has enriched their lives the way that the artists that I love have enriched me.
Yeah, it's life-changing, like you said.
It can be.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye, Brad.
Thank you so much.